Hey y'all, this podcast contains potentially disturbing content. Our show includes graphic references to topics such as sexual abuse, self-harm, violence, eating disorders, explicit language, and sexual acts. Listener discretion is advised. This show is for mature audiences only.
Good morning and slay. Slay, bitch, slay all day because you're listening to the Queer LBC Podcast. I'm Nino, a local construction daddy and podcast fatty. My pronouns are he, him. Thank you for asking. I have with me here my fabulous cohorts.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Christoph,
your city top liaison. My pronouns are he, him, and that motherfucker.
Dr. Mikey here, your professional cheese muscle. Tell me all your secrets. My pronouns are he, she, all of them.
So what do we have for us today, Nino?
All right, I'll address some quick tea and queer events, 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 quick, queer, queer.
Take a sip.
You big stupid bitch. All right. So this is the quick tea and the queer events. This is where we get into the L, G, B, and the T of it all. Sometimes we get a little Q too, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, girl. So what are these queens talking about today on this week?
Today in gay. Washington makes school curriculum more inclusive by adding LGBTQ plus history. Today in homophobia, don't say gay settlement has changes. Today in trans, the LGBTQ plus community gathers to march for next Benedict at the state capitol in Oklahoma City. Planet Fitness is standing behind its decision to ban a member who photographed a transgender woman in a locker room. Today in transphobia, next Benedict died by suicide, says Oklahoma medical examiner. Today in what the fuck, Paris Union High School District eliminates DEI department. Any of you queens know about any of these things?
I don't know a lot about any of those things, but I have so happened to see that TikTok going around or like that video of that lady at Planet Fitness.
Oh my God.
Because I think it just started circulating, what, like yesterday or like the day before yesterday?
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
It's pretty freaking new. So as it turns out, Planet Fitness has better trans inclusion locker room policies than most red states. The gym chain recently defended its decision to revoke the membership of a woman who photographed another woman in a changing room. Patricia Silva was banned after she shared a video on Facebook featuring the other woman who is transgender while complaining about her presence in the woman's locker room. Sylvia constantly misgendered the other woman in the video, saying that she loves her in Christ and that she is a spiritual being having a human experience, but that she wasn't comfortable with the woman shaving in my bathroom. Sylvia asserted that the woman doesn't like her gender at birth, so she wants to be a woman. Excuse me. Sylvia also clutched over the woman being near a 12-year-old girl in the locker room, despite no incident nor interaction taking place. She then said that after verbally berating the woman, she reported her to the staff at the front desk, who did not take action. The two men standing at the desk put their heads down and their tails between their legs, Sylvia claimed. She just going after everybody.
Like, Karen.
Planet Fitness non-discrimination policy states that employees cannot discriminate against transgender people unless a serious concern or significant doubt about their identity arises. It explains if it is confirmed that a member is acting in bad faith and improperly asserting a gender identity, they may be asked to leave and their membership may be terminated. After the video gained traction online, Planet Fitness revoked Sylvia's membership. The inevitable right-wing backlash followed, with Sylvia's video being re-promoted by conservative extremist accounts, libs of TikTok and Twitter X owner Elon Musk. A spokesperson for the gym recently defended the decision to the Daily Mail, maintaining that not only did Sylvia violate Planet Fitness policy on mobile devices in locker rooms, but the discomfort is not a reason to deny access. As the home of the judgment-free zone, which Planet Fitness strives on no judgment zone, which is good, is committed to creating an inclusive environment, they said. Our gender identity non-discrimination policy states that a member and guest may use the gym facilities that best align with their sincere self-reported gender identity. The member who posted on social media violated our mobile device policy that prohibits taking photos of individuals in the locker room, which resulted in their membership being terminated. Sylvia pleased with the outcome, vowed in another Facebook post to report the incident to the police despite no crime being committed. Bitch, what you gonna report? But also, you signed the contract.
Right.
All those things are in your contract. So you have no case. Mind your fucking business.
Also, like, taking video of someone in the locker room. Like, it's one thing if... What do you need to take the video for?
You want to know what's something? If that little girl is in that video, I hope her parents sue her for minor, like, because you could flip it. You was videotaping us.
I was shocked that Planet Fitness was, like, on like that, though. Because I go to Planet Fitness myself, and I'm like, it almost seems, like, weird there, but I don't know.
I mean,
go so you, Planet Fitness.
I think it's probably, like, any gym, right? Like, I don't think people think, I think, yes, people like see like a link between gyms and gay people, but like I think like people also see like it's a very masculine space, so I may not feel safe for people. But it's great that like Planet Fitness is stepping in and doing that.
I know, I was shocked.
But one thing that I just try to realize is try to see which state this happened in.
Oh,
and it really don't
doesn't
state
say.
In the article.
Strange.
Let me see if I can find that. But yeah, that. But I also was reading the comments and whatnot, and everybody was like, kudos for Planet Fitness, because one, she violated the policy. I mean, she signed the contract. Boom. And then I heard somebody else say, like, you know what? It was, see, sometimes people just won't clout.
She sounds like a Karen.
It was a, no, it was a another transgender, well, this is at least what they said in one of the comments. Like, I'm transgender and I'm with Sylvia. Like, you shouldn't have been shaving your legs in the locker room. I don't even fucking use the locker room. I go to the gym, work out, take my ass home and use my own shit. But I'm like, I'm quite sure people shave.
Yeah, they do.
In locker rooms, male and female.
I see guys doing that all the time.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I'm not taking videos of them.
Right, exactly. Like, that was fucking stupid.
Sylvia said that she just wanted everybody to know how she felt. And she felt
things to yourself.
Right? I don't give a fuck, Sylvia.
Sometimes you just need to do that. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? Like, no one gives a fuck, Sylvia. Just shut the fuck up.
Damn, it don't really state in none of these articles of what freaking state it was.
That's cool. I mean, all the gays need to go support Planet Fitness now.
Go Planet Fitness for being trans friendly. Thank you.
That part.
This is another one from The Advocate. The office of the chief medical examiner in Oklahoma has concluded that Nex Benedict, a 16-year-old trans non-binary student of indigenous heritage from Owosso High School, whose death has sparked widespread concern and debate, died by suicide. The medical examiner's one-page summary report identifies the cause of death as combined toxicity from diphenhydramine and fluoxetine? I don't know. A full report will be released on March 27th, according to the department. Diphenhydramine, commonly known by its brand name Benadryl, is an antihistamine typically used to treat allergy symptoms. Fluoxetine, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but widely recognized as Prozac, is a medication prescribed for depression and anxiety disorders. On February 7th, Benedict, who used he, they pronouns, was assaulted in a school bathroom. Later, Benedict's grandmother took him to a hospital where body-worn video from an Owosso police officer revealed that the teenager had been bullied relentlessly for their gender expression before the assault. The following day, Benedict was in distress at home and taken to the hospital, where they were later pronounced dead. Benedict's death has highlighted the critical need for increased awareness and resources dedicated to the mental health and well-being of LGBTQ plus youth.
I don't understand how that motherfucker got his license if you're a medical examiner and... How you come up with that? Like, who fucking paid you to say that stupid shit?
Right?
It says, Sarah Kate Ellis, the president and CEO of GLAAD, issued a statement to The Advocate challenging the adequacy of the investigation and calling for greater accountability.
Yeah.
Ellis highlighted the critical need for persistent inquiry and transparency from Oklahoma's law enforcement and government entities, particularly in cases involving the safety and well-being of vulnerable students like Benedict. Ellis expressed skepticism regarding the sparse details provided by the medical examiner's report on Benedict's death. There is nothing in the one-page document to explain why the medical examiner checked a box, Ellis noted. Medina must have learned by now that they need to continue to question what they get from law enforcement and government entities in Oklahoma that have so far failed to protect vulnerable students and responsibly provide any information that is critical for student safety. She further emphasized the broader implications of Benedict's case, emphasizing the dire need for a social shift towards the protection and acceptance of LGBTQ+ youth. Next, Benedict and all LGBTQ and two-spirit, transgender, and gender nonconforming youth deserve a world that fights for them and themselves to be free from state-sponsored bullying and discrimination, Ellis remarked. She also called on the media and public officials to remain vigilant in holding state leaders accountable for safeguarding all youth from harming and ceasing harmful policy.
Like, the interesting thing is, like, okay, was it just in their system or was it at, like, a toxic level?
It doesn't really say.
Right. See, and that's the issue, because you think about it, like, Next was literally just, like, assaulted and had, like, major injuries. You know, Benadryl helps people sleep, right?
Right.
And, you know, but even if it's not that, you're talking about Prozac, which is the depression medication. People who have depression tend to have trouble sleeping, falling asleep, staying asleep. So Benadryl may be, and that's actually a common practice that some people get from, like, doctors, is to take Benadryl to sleep better when they have trouble sleeping related to their mental health.
Well, because she does say there is nothing in this one-page document to explain why the medical examiner checked these boxes. So basically, like, obviously they're probably depressed, so they probably have Prozac. And then two, I mean, they could be allergic to cats and just taking it normally, right?
Yeah,
no, so it doesn't say, like you're saying, it's not like excess levels, like they OD'd on Prozac and Benadryl.
Exactly. Right.
But they're using this as the suicide, like, evidence.
Exactly.
Like, and this is not suspect as fuck.
Yeah.
How was that a suicide? You suicided yourself on Prozac and Benadryl?
Yeah. And it's like, why are you on Prozac, right? Oh, because you get bullied and there's transphobia in your school.
Right. My school don't fucking want me here.
You're that young and you're on Prozac? You can't get that without a fucking prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
And then if they're going to say that shit, I would, like, if I'm the parent, if y'all care so much about these children, and you want safety of these children to be so much on your top priority, so now you're responsible for my child's death if it was suicide.
Yeah.
Because you should have been protecting them.
Yeah.
So what the fuck now?
We call for accountability on Oklahoma.
No, exactly. Like, it's just protecting their transphobia, just protecting, you know, what happened and trying to, like, sweep it under the rug. And that's really not okay.
But I do like the community members is going to, they're going to gather to march for next at the state capitol in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So students from class and SAS marched to the state capitol to participate in a march for next Benedict in Oklahoma City Thursday, March 14, 2024, according to the Oklahoman. Andrew Johnson makes a sign before a march for next Benedict at the state capitol in Oklahoma City Thursday, March 14, 2004. Benedict was pronounced dead February 8th, one day after being injured in an altercation inside of a Owosso High School bathroom.
Yeah, but it's great
show up and show out.
Exactly. That's great that these marches are happening, and I think people need to continue to, like, press the school, press, you know, their congress people to call for, you know, justice, to call for, like, these people to do their jobs rightfully and to protect everyone, not just a select few people.
Everyone. We ain't talked about Florida in a while, but there was a 52-year-old John Walter Lay, a proud gay man, was shot and killed at a dog park in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. His killer has been charged with murder. John had been harassed the last 2 years by this neighbor because of his sexuality. His close friend said he never instigated anything at all. He always walked away. He would say, "Leave me alone." He was just that type of person. Another friend said the neighbor would scream and holler at him and call him a faggot every time he gets to the dog park. He'll sit there and say, "I'd like to punch him right in the fucking mouth." The Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Christener said in a statement, after analyzing the evidence, it was clear that the man acted from hatred within his heart. John was shot and killed while walking his dog, Roxy, John's sister said that there is no sentence that's going to restore my brother's life. But if the person has that type of hatred and can act on it, keeping him in jail will hopefully save someone else's life. John Dog Roxy has been rehomed with friends in the area and still regularly visit the dog park. If you're a person reading this, whoever thought for a second that the words of hatred and bills that circulate our world in regards to diminishing our humanity are not a threat to our livelihood, I sadly inform you that here is yet another example of your response to support those around you being too late yet again. John, hey, brother. Hey, Angel, I love you. We love you. We'll never forget you. And that's from the Yeez Dropper on Instagram. But it's also noted that the arrest didn't even fucking take place until they got so much kickback from community members and, you know, people calling and saying, like, what the fuck, like this, that, and the other. So when he made that statement talking about, oh, like, yeah, like, all the evidence showed, but you didn't, you took forever to do that.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is that? So you just let murderers run rampant? People can kill whoever they want and it doesn't...
See, and that's fucking crazy because when people go to the police and tell about harassment, they don't... Technically, oh, we can't do nothing until something happened. Then it's too fucking late. Like, y'all should have did shit then.
Right? But then they can pull over fucking black people who did nothing wrong.
Of course. Florida loves that shit.
So it's like, how can you not do anything before something happens? You have all the fucking right to do whatever the fuck you want. You're a fucking cop. That's so fucking suck. That's fucked up and sad. And that, like,
it is. Rest in peace.
Like, what an unnecessary death.
So unnecessary.
Rest in peace, sir.
Did y'all hear about the Florida's Don't Say Gay bill settlement changes?
I heard something, but I don't really know what.
Yeah. So, students and teachers in Florida can now discuss sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms as long as it's not part of formal instruction. It's an important change after a new settlement between state education officials and civil rights attorneys who challenged the so-called Don't Say Gay bill law. Education reporter... Oh, they discuss. Let's see. So essentially, the Don't Say Gay bill, they changed it up so it's not as restrictive as it was originally. Because before, you weren't able to kind of like mention like anything about being gay, or it was very worded very loosely to be interpreted that way. So like even teachers couldn't be like out or talk to their kids about things, things like that. But now, that's right. Not the case.
Yeah. They can be normal people.
They can be normal people. We acknowledge your existence.
Barely. Because somebody forced us to.
Yeah.
Well, go Florida before being forced.
Yeah. But I think, like, this is important. Like this is related to the one that you brought up because that shooting happened in Florida. And, like, can you imagine, like, we hear all the vile rhetoric here in California. Can you imagine like how intense it is in Florida and like how much more rampant it is and like common maybe it is to kind of experience? So like, of course, like especially, things like that are going to happen.
Especially when the rhetoric is already anti-gay, right?
Yeah.
Because if we're already saying that Next Benedict is a direct like cause of the homo or the transphobia in Oklahoma, like, how is this obviously not a direct cause of the hatred that they're spewing in fucking Florida?
No, exactly.
Right. But it's like, I feel like people aren't making that same, they're not like taking this home like they're taking Next Benedict home with Oklahoma. They're not doing that with this. I guess they just see like a gay man getting murdered as like normaler or
I don't
no one.
No.
Because I feel like this isn't being picked up, right? Like, nobody is talking about this one. Like, they're talking about.
I mean, that's true. Like,
but Next.
Next was like, you know, like I don't even watch the news, so but I'm quite sure it was worldwide, like, you know, breaking story.
I don't know.
I'm sure. I hope so.
Yeah, but I think what happens, I feel like movements, because there's so much happening, like movements kind of have to like pick
and choose your martyr,
you know, because there's only so much they can do, right? Like, I'm sure, you know, hopefully, like at these rallies or things like that, like people bring in this person or like kind of acknowledge them, because that's what typically happens. But I think like in terms of like movements, there tends to be kind of like this focal point. And I think Next just happens to be that.
What do we... Because I feel like in the Black Lives Matter movement, like, every next, like, black person who's killed by a cop, like, this the say their name mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, let's not forget the victim. And, like, we are going to kind of turn almost every person to a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's kind of like, and I've heard, like, also things about, like, the families don't really want that sometimes. Like, yeah. The families are not, they're not the ones doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like the group, you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm. they, I mean, you have to realize that those individuals want to, they are in mourning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, they lost a loved one.
Yeah.
They're not focused on being at the forefront.
Of a movement.
Mm-hmm. When I just lost my son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do we, like, is that like a thing that, I don't know. Is that like a thing that we should be doing or not doing? You know what I mean?
I mean, we should, most definitely, we should be using our voices. Individuals that are able to use their voice and utilize their voice for the good of the community, regardless of whatever community it is, that are equal to all, in a sense, should most definitely be using their voice, because all of us have our particular purpose in life, right? And I can say this, that, like, if it was us three, if something happened and we all had to go and try to be on the forefront, I know that I could, you have certain good things that you are able to do. And I'm not the loudest, but I know that I could go and make sure that permits is signed and ready and good to go. And I know that you could probably do, you know, something. No. But no, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'll probably do, like, the electronics, or, like, you know, setting up the platform and shit. Like, everybody have their place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But we also have to utilize it and do it. When we get called, sometimes we don't get called up to do it. We mm-hmm. just got to go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just asking the question is of if this, like, martyrdom thing is, like, ultimately good or bad, or... Should I mean, I guess we should be marching against, you know, obviously how they're not dealing with the injustices.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to put our feet on these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, if the family's willing and open to do that, I think that makes sense to do that, because I think that also humanizes and counters the rhetoric that's out there, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, like, because I guess my concern is, like, for, like, black trans women, right? Like, we know, like, you know, like, can you imagine the amount of names of black trans women that need to be acknowledged during these things? Mm-hmm. And I guess it's, like, I don't want to martyr those women and not, like, give back in some way, you know? And I think that is kind of... Because, like, that's the history of the gay community is, you know, like, we rely on... And our rights on the back of black trans women, and they don't get their due recognition and props for that. So, like, I don't want the movement to do that again without at least giving back to that community. If that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think that is the potential issue with martyrdom, you know?
Because, yeah, I kind of feel like when it comes to the issue of, like, the black trans women, I feel like all their names are not said and they are all forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, then it should they become martyrs? Should we be remembering their names, every single one of them individually? And then, I mean, that sounds like probably a better way of going about things than forgetting them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But I think if they do get used, like, I think there should be some sort of reciprocity giving back to, like, the black trans community, you mm-hmm. know? Like, giving them a voice in this, not just holding up a sign of the black trans women who have passed. Like, there are living black trans women, so give them the space as well in this.
That's also true. Have mm-hmm. them at the forefront.
Yeah, we don't have to wait until they are killed to give them a space or a seat at the table.
And some local news.
Come on, local.
Paris Union High School District eliminates DEI department. Let's see. In a surprise move that shocked some parents and community members, obviously not all of them, the Paris Union High School District became possibly the first in the region to cut diversity, equity, and inclusion department. The director's job, as well as behavioral support specialists, social workers, and substance intervention specialists, were eliminated in the district last week. In all, 18 jobs were cut from the 2024 to 2025 school year by Board of Trustees during a special meeting on March 5th at 3 p.m. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion programs, also known as DEI, are created to address decades of discrimination aimed at people of color and LGBTQ plus staff and students. Parents, educators, students, and concerned community members filled the boardroom and overflowed outside to voice their concerns about the proposed cuts in student support services, which they say will have devastating consequences on the students who need them. If they get rid of this program and if they get rid of this division, there's not going to be proper teachings to the students and their families and administration staff and faculty, including teachers, to understand how to work with students of color and work with students who are part of the LGBTQ plus community. Rocco Nelms, 15, a student at Paris Union School, I said, according to the IE Voice. Let's see.
Oh, so Paris is in the...
Yeah, in the Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's close. They're coming for everyone now. Right.
They are. The board voted 4-1 to eliminate the positions. Let's see. During the Paris Union meeting, Trustee Elizabeth Vallejo asked her fellow trustees to consider budget cuts in different areas, put students first, and listen to support staff and educators who said the positions are necessary. Vallejo was the only no vote. Welp, I guess they do not want that. In Paris, why? I don't know. They don't think it's necessary, I guess. So that's happening in California. No more diversity and inclusion for Paris Union High School. Why is that out here? Didn't these fucking schools know when Gavi Newsom was like, no, bitch, we're not doing that? Like, don't they know?
They don't care. They're going to keep pushing it.
Until they trying to get him to come down here. Because you know he'll pull up on the motherfucker.
He better open fire.
Not open fire.
Pop, pop, pop.
But like in Riverside, didn't they try to like do something with the schools too? Like it's conservative out there.
It is. Fucking rural.
Mm-hmm.
Paris. But dirt.
Yeah, Paris is pretty gross.
Yeah, because to be honest, it's like it's only LA, San Diego, and like up north, San Francisco. That's like the more like liberal, you know, leftist sections that keep this state that way. So, and more positive news, y'all. Washington makes school curriculum more inclusive by adding LGBTQ plus history. They passed a bill that puts LGBT curriculum in schools. The bill recently approved by the House of Representatives and Senate and now heads to the Democratic Governor Jay Inslee for his signature. It requires the State Education Agency, the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction, to update learning standards to include lessons on the LGBTQ plus history and contributions. The bill also creates curricula for other underrepresented groups, including racial and ethnic groups, those with disabilities, and varying socioeconomic backgrounds. It encourages diversity in all topics, even sciences and math. For example, fictional people and practice problems are suggested to be diverse in race and gender instead of being solely white men.
Yes!
The updated standard aims to make queer students feel included and secure while also encouraging all students' interest in contemporary topics. Let's see. More than 550 anti-LGBT bills were included across the U.S. in 2003 and 80 were passed into law. That's 3 months in 2004. 479 anti-LGBT bills have been introduced, many of which are strict or outright public and prohibit LGBTQ plus curriculum in public schools. But we got one. We're protected in Washington.
Yay. Washington State, right?
One down and 52 more to go.
Mm-hmm. One by one.
What's up with Washington? I thought they were like racist.
Washington State? I mean, like, I don't know, because I feel like they on this coast, and I think a lot of people from Cali and, you know, liberal states move up to Washington.
Mm-hmm. Seattle.
Right. It's Seattle. I think Seattle is what's making it happen, Kathy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Yes.
So. Can't wait for those educated children to go out into the world
right.
with their diverse knowledge.
Right.
Gay agenda.
Just confused.
Well, is that it for these quick teas?
I'm not thirsty anymore.
I don't think I'm thirsty either. But, you know.
What do I know?
You got one still.
Oh, I guess we're going to go ahead and take a break. I lost my train of thought, so.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break. Break time.
Hey, y'all. Christoph here. And we at the Queer LBC just want to say thank you again for all your love and support. But we also wanted to let you know that you can hit that like button, boo. But we really, really, really do appreciate a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts at. You can also follow us on Instagram at QueerLBC to get updates on the shows and more. Also, shit, tell a friend about us. Get the word out. You know, we your favorite LGBTQ plus podcast in the LBC, baby.
And we're back. So today I wanted to talk about marriage. Well, specifically gay marriage. What is it? Why is it? Do you want one? Do you have one? What's the history on gay marriage? And is it destroying the sanctity of heterosexuality? What do you think, Dr. Mikey? Do you know anything about the history of gay marriage?
Yes, actually, I do. So in the 70s is actually when the activism for marriage equality started to kick off. In fact, two gay men, James McConnell and Richard Baker, applied for a marriage license. But the Kirk, she pulled a Kim Davis and she was like, nah, sis, we don't do that here. So they sued and they took it to the state and federal court. The state ruled against the couple and the federal court was like, we don't know her. We don't want to hear this case. So, also side story to that is that couple actually applied for a marriage license at another county and they got it. And they were actually, so technically the first gay couple to ever get married.
So they just like did it just to like just to do it and they just got it?
Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah. Because that other county didn't prohibit sex to different sexes, different genders. But they didn't know that happened or that it was valid because the other county ruled against them, right? So they kind of were like, well, what's happening? But anyway, so yeah. But anyway, this starts kind of a lot of other organizations demanding marriage equality. And the establishment got really worried in like 1974. And Maryland was the first state to ban same-sex marriage. By the late 70s, Washington, Virginia, Florida, California, Wyoming had banned same-sex marriages. And for the next decade, the straights and the holy people, they're in shambles about the potential of gays getting married. And that is when, bam, Clinton signs the Defense of Marriage Act, which states that the federal government will not recognize same-sex marriages and defines marriage between a man and a woman.
Really, Hillary? Why?
Right. So this obviously allows states to not recognize same-sex unions, and this leads to things like domestic partnerships and civil unions because people are not able to get married. But in around 2008, states start to kind of shift and start recognizing same-sex marriages. And that's here in California. If you remember, that was when Prop 8 was happening for us. So Prop 8 was passed, so same-sex marriage was supposed to happen in California, but then the court overturned it. Yeah. And then around that time, also Bush and Obama were saying that marriage was between a man and a woman, so kind of things were kind of just kept that way in law. But people kept putting pressure on the system. They kept trying to get marriage license. They kept suing states in order to get recognition, and this led to the Obergefell and Hodges case that was seen by the Supreme Court. And actually, this case is actually a culmination of a bunch of cases, not just one case.
And that was when?
That was in... So, the culmination of these cases happened when they were originally filed, like in 2007, 2008, when people were trying to get married and they're getting denied licenses or they're not being recognized.
Okay.
But the case was heard in front of the Supreme Court around like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then the Supreme Court ruled in favor to Obergefell and said that they ruled that the fundamental right to marry extends to same-sex couples. Same-sex marriages bans are unconstitutional to the 14th Amendment.
And Obergefell is a gay person?
So, yeah. So he's one. I think he. So that whole case that was seen by the Supreme Court was like a bunch of cases put together. It was like a bunch a bunch of people essentially pushing for different angles for same-sex marriage to be recognized. And Obergefell was one. And I think with that one, him and his partner had been together for like decades, and his partner died, I believe, and he wasn't able to get his insurance. Yeah. So, but even though they had been together for years and would have been considered married, but they didn't have the opportunity to, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think they had like a civil union, a domestic partnership. Mm-hmm. But something like that. So, like, part of that case was hearing that. But there are other ones around, like, kids not being adopted by both parents or something like that. Mm. So, yeah. So, that was heard by Supreme Court. And they ruled in favor to have same-sex marriages recognized.
I see.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think that was around 2015.
Okay.
And then, so, that's why we have same-sex marriage now. But there are some concerns because when Roe v. Wade was overturned, I think that was what, in 2022?
Right, so let me go back. So when that Obergefell thing happened, that's when we officially got the right to get married?
Yes.
Federally?
Nationwide, yes.
Okay.
In 20, yeah, with Obergefell. 2015. Yeah.
I'm like, what was I doing in 2015?
Not getting married.
Oh, that was like I was single in LA fucking around.
You weren't ready for marriage.
No. I remember because I had friends in Cleveland who were about to get married after that got approved.
Mm. Where were you, doctor, when that was happening?
2015.
Because it was a couple of years before.
I was in Massachusetts. I was finishing up my internship there. It was June 2015. They released the ruling on June 26, 2015, which is like the first day of the Stonewall riots. Mm. How very ceremonious. Like,
say that. How do they have the. How do they have that where they can just like plan it on things? Like,
yeah,
to
right.
Make it cute, but then it's like, bitch, you say you can't do shit when you don't want.
Right.
The fuck.
But it's also, bitch, is my rights. Well, I could have gotten that earlier.
Right. I don't need it ceremony. To be cute.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be on the anniversary.
Give my fucking rights.
Give it to me now.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, yeah. So that is when we got same-sex marriage.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long journey. Like, mm-hmm. It was a lot of back and forth. So, and it was so interesting to kind of, as researching it, to find like, all the different places that were like trying to fight back or resist. Like, we got DOMA because Hawaii was hearing cases about recognizing same-sex marriages. Mm-hmm. So before it went through, Clinton threw down DOMA to define marriage as between a man and a woman.
Mm. Yeah, because I thought Hawaii and gay marriage. Because like, I thought for some reason you can get married in Hawaii, right? Or did I just make that up? That you used to be able to get gay married in Hawaii?
I think the first state that, well, a lot of them were, but I think in our modern time, like probably in our recollection, I think the first one was like Massachusetts that started to recognize same-sex marriages.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember when we had first got the right, what was it? What year was that? The first time before they repealed it?
2008. Wait, Prop 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when that first happened,
mm-hmm.
that my first boyfriend was like excited and happy about it. But then I was like, it's going to get repealed. And then he got mad at me because he was like, we should be happy and get married. And I was like, oh my God, thank God I didn't get married to him. But also it did get repealed. And I was like,
Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah. But even if it got repealed, those marriages were still valid. That was the one caveat they gave them. They're like, oh, if you got married during this time, it's still valid because our bad.
That doesn't make sense.
You got rights on accident.
Like, how does that make sense?
Because how could you confirm? I mean, you can't really. A marriage license is just that. Like,
I've got
like
grandfather.
A piece of paper. So yeah. Like, they have the paper filed. So it's just like, it
is really literally just recognition.
No, can't take it back.
So yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
Like, I have more rights than my grandson. What the fuck? I got grandfathered in this marriage license.
Right. Yeah.
They want to repeal it now again?
Well, this is the thing. So it's more of like concerns and worries and future oriented thinking. So when they repealed Roe versus Wade,
right?
I think that was in 2022. That was 2 years ago, right? Or it was recent, you know, the Supreme Court repealed it. I think there was a comment from Clarence Thomas in which he was saying that certain cases should be reheard in front of the Supreme Court now. And he specifically named the Obliger-Fell case, which is the same-sex couple case. So he wants to rehear it, and we have a much more conservative Supreme Court.
So how the fuck are you going to rehear something that's already been settled?
So what they'll do is they'll probably get a new case. Now, I don't know if you remember, like, we did a quick tea on a case in another state that was trying to not let same-sex unions go through. Okay. I don't know if you remember that. I forgot what state it was.
Kentucky?
Was it Kentucky? Maybe.
I think so. The one who, like, she denied them because of her religion.
Yeah.
Right. So since that's a new piece of that law, they could rehear it on that bias, per se.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how, because I don't know how, like, y'all make a decision and then you go all tixie-paxies. That makes no sense to me.
Right? And then they say, and then they go with this gun shit and they're like, oh, these, you can't go back on these laws. And it's like, but you can, though. But
clearly. Well, those are the commandments.
The
Cause,
fuck?
Because I guess I just wonder, what is that line, you know? Like, because, like, what keeps, like, them from taking back, like, rights from, like, African-American people, right?
You know?
Like,
I mean, they already took it back from women, so, like, all of us ain't, like, fucking safe at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, what's that cusp, you know? Like, what makes that determination?
What they can get away with, I guess. Because it's, like, women also encompasses white women.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're down to take away their own white women's rights, they don't, why would they give a fuck about anybody else?
It's all about that mighty dollar.
Yeah. I'm all like, So that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why they would want to rehear that. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of like, so you think that, like, there could be a chance that it's just not correct anymore, that this person doesn't need the health insurance money, or they don't need to visit you in the hospital, like, as a family member, or
help you make medical decisions.
Like, I guess that doesn't matter anymore. We should rehear that. Because times have changed and we hate you now.
Right.
So it basically is what it is, right? Bleh.
But yeah, that's our journey to marriage equality.
So as a married person, Dr. Mikey here is the only married person. Dr. Mikey is the only married person here that I know. Unless Christoph, are you married?
I am not married.
I am also not married.
I'm single.
How does this make you feel, Dr. Mikey, knowing that you're a married person? What does it do?
In terms of what? Like, talking about marriage or like?
No, in terms of like you thinking, like, could it get overturned? Or like, how would that affect, let's say it did get overturned, how would that actually affect you? Like, what do you think would make things different?
I don't know. Like, to be honest, like, I feel like when I got married, like, it didn't feel like much different. It's not like I got like this welcome package or like, here's your benefits. Like, you know, I think it's written law that I get like these special perks and benefits, but like, I don't know what they are. You know? Right.
Haven't got my welcome package.
I know. So I don't know. So like, for me, like, I think the only way it'll impact is this legally, right? You know, because like, I think like personally, emotionally, like spiritually, like whether my marriage is recognized by the law or not, like that doesn't matter to me. Like, because I think like my marriage and my love like transcends what like this country has to say or their validation for it. And like, to be honest, like I never saw myself getting married. And me and my husband, like, when it happened, I think we're together for like probably 7 years already, mm-hmm. 6 years maybe. And, you know, we bought a house together and we're just, and we got like, we had our big jobs, our first big boy jobs. And it just felt right. You know, it's like, okay, like we're doing things and, you know, and we did it. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well, from a love aspect, I understand. But from a severely financial aspect, mm-hmm. do you think it would affect you now that you're married? Is there any, well, let's look it up. What are the benefits that married couples receive? Because I know they receive tax benefits.
Yeah, there's some tax benefits to it. But like, maybe that. But because I know even before we were married, I did like life insurance and I put my partner as a recipient of my life insurance.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Even though we weren't like even in a like domestic partnership at that point.
Oh, okay.
This is
from getlegal.com. Persons who are legally married have long enjoyed a wide range of benefits in the United States, including employment benefits, health insurance, family leave, bereavement leave, family benefits, adoption rights, and joint foster care rights, the right to a portion of jointly owned property upon separation of divorce. Government benefits include Social Security benefits. You may receive your spouse's Social Security benefits if you are at least 62 or if you are caring for a child under the age of 16, Medicare, disability benefits, VA benefits, and public assistance. Tax and estate planning benefits include the marital tax deduction if you are allowed to transfer any asset to your spouse at any time without paying taxes on that asset. The option to file joint tax returns, which especially beneficial if one spouse earns significantly more than the other, the right to inherit your spouse's estate without paying an estate tax. Medical and death benefits include the right to visit your spouse in the hospital, which is one mm-hmm. thing I mentioned, the right to make medical decisions for an impact, the right to make medical decisions for an incapacitated spouse, the right to participate in burial and funeral arrangements, consumer benefits, discounts to families or couples. Yeah. So those are a lot of benefits that straight couples receive that if you do not have the right to, you are not receiving, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like,
but they also don't seem appealing. Like, ooh.
Right. Benefits. They seem very adult.
Right. Like,
I mean, while they are not.
They yeah. already running out of SSI money, so that ain't gonna motherfucking matter. Like.
But yeah. Let's say, like, I mean, gay people, we are humans and we do end up with sometimes one spouse, not like multiple sex partners our whole lives. And I mean, if you're the kind of person who's going to dedicate yourself to one person your whole life, and I mean, straight people do this, they get married and they receive all these benefits. And if you're just going to be with that one person your whole life and you don't get those benefits for no fucking reason, why is that? Like, if I'm with my man my whole life and then his family decides because they're fucking homophobic that I have no say in what his funeral arrangements are, or I get none of the money that I helped him get by being like his housewife, you know what I mean? Like, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't even visit him in the hospital. What if his family were to say, I don't know this person because they're homophobic, right?
I mean, it has happened.
It's happened.
And it does happen, sure.
So, I mean, those are big. That's it. I feel like that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, just the option of having those rights just for your partner, for your mm-hmm. the way that your normal life is. Like,
yeah. And, you know, I think, like, I take that for granted and privilege because, like, me and my partner have been together for, like, it's a decade this year. So, like, we've been operating functionally as, like, a married couple for a very long time. So, like, those mm-hmm. are things that I didn't even, like, second guess. Like, even before we were married, like, we were, like,
just assume,
do right? all these things. I'm like, try to stop me, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, no one ever did because I had the privilege of also living here in this state.
Yeah.
That's yeah. true.
But imagine, right? Like, imagine they said, no, your marriage is now annulled and you don't have that anymore. And then let's say your partner did die randomly. Mm-hmm. And then now their family is saying, fuck you. You're assed out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like because if you're not, even if you have kids together too, that can end up really fucked up.
Yeah. Because like, what if you can't adopt they can't have both of you, right? Mm-hmm.
And now you're just some random nobody who yeah. has, like, legally no,
yeah.
no impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal to have the right to be married.
Yeah, because it all comes with, it's all boils down to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the end game.
I mean, I feel like a lot of gays take it for granted. Like, they don't even, like, really give a fuck, I think.
What you mean?
Like in the terms of, like, we're not really paying attention to, like, the fact that, like, our future spouse, like, we could not have, like, that right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we like don't how really think people, about it.
I seen a video of, what's the guy that run TMZ?
Mike Rowe? No. What's his name? He looks like Mike Rowe. What is his name?
Levin. It's something like Levin or something.
Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. But I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. But he was talking about how his partner passed away back in the early days with AIDS. And it was just like that battle of trying to, mm-hmm. you know, maneuver
mm-hmm.
to get him the help and pay for things. But they wasn't classified as married and shit.
Yeah.
It was...
Even visiting them in the hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he said he used to go up. They used to be up in North Hollywood at this one hospital. I can't remember. But yeah, I was like, damn, that's... But we take that for granted. But like, it's literally what? Motherfuckers who still remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think about that too. Like, I'm not even married to my boyfriend, but like, I think about it in the terms of love. The whole like, if marriage is like no more. Like, I only think of it like, oh, well, we still love each other, so it doesn't really matter if it's not on paper. But then the reality is like, well, the implications are actually further than that, I guess.
See, but that's yeah. also true. But I feel like you could still work the system. Like,
yeah.
when you sign up for, like, stuff, you're like, I don't have to put you down as my husband. Unfortunately, now we're about to be brothers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how they gonna fucking say I can't give you this? Like, I don't know how that process works and whatnot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, even when you have to get your... person as your life mm-hmm. receive your life benefits and things when you at work, you know, you ain't got to, how they gonna know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? If that comes down to it, unfortunately. Yeah, that sucks to think about,
but so far we still have it.
So far
it's true.
So how was getting married for you? How was marriage for you?
I feel like like I said, it really didn't shift anything. Like, it doesn't feel any different, you know, that we're married, you know, like.
There's no extra something mad, like, that, like, makes it different, right?
No, not for me, because, like, if I was ready, like, since I married my partner, like, obviously I'm ready for, like, this life commitment. So, like, I was already prepared, and I already made that choice and decision. So, like, for me, like, the marriage was a legality type of thing, you know, because like I already made a choice and decision that I'm going to be with this person forever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's, you know, who I want to be with. So like, and we still operate the same way, I feel like. Yeah.
Nice.
So tell us your proposal story.
I don't know if we have a proposal story, actually.
How did you come to the conclusion to start the process of officiating the marriage, or the
we bought our house together.
Okay,
so we were,
and that was before you guys were married.
Yeah, before we were married. So like our backstory. Maybe we should start with my little backstory. So we met in 2015. I was 2 months away from moving to Massachusetts to wrap up my doctorate at an internship out there. I was going to be out there for a year, working full time, doing therapy. And I happened to meet my partner by coincidence. Like, I happened to spend the night at my mom's house in Whittier, and I was living in Laverne at the time near my university. I probably should have named cities, so. Whatever. And I just happened to spend the night at my mom's house, go on Grindr in the morning. And
oh, morning Grindr?
The gay's Instagram.
Right.
And my partner messages me, and we were just chatting and whatever. And so it was kind of like a very like universe bringing you together, because like I normally don't stay there, and we just happened to kind of cross paths. And you know, we agreed to meet up later that day. We meet up at a club. and it was a drag show, and you know, he's 2 hours late.
Oh my.
What?
Yeah.
Classic.
Right? And you know my partner, so he double booked himself.
And you were still there?
It was a drag show, so I was like, whatever. I'm like, if you all come, like, at least I'm here. Because, it was at Hamburger Mary's Long Beach, and I lived in Laverne, so I'm like, I'm here. Like, fuck, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do whatever. Like, I'm not driving back now. So, yeah, so I did it. And then, like, he comes, and, like, he walks in. I always describe this moment because, like, literally, like, everything kind of just, like, slows down when I turn around and see him. And, like, it's like, literally walking, like, slow motion. And it's, like, it's just, like, this feeling of, like, familiarity just, like, hits me. And it's just, like, it was just, like, a very intense, like, intimate, like, new feeling for me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was kind of, like, you know, I don't know, maybe it was love at first sight. I don't know if that's what you call it, but sounds it was like definitely a different, like, connection.
Okay.
That was felt. It was like, we've done this before.
Did you have a thought? It was like, damn, this might be the motherfucker I'll marry. Because it seemed like that's the feeling that you had.
Yeah, it was something kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah, so we did our thing, and then it was like, well, I'm leaving like 2 months, so like, I don't want anything serious, so we're just going to play this out and see what happens. So we did, and then I left, and I drove across country, and I did like a road trip, and we were kept in contact, and I think like maybe like 3 days into the road trip, like, we were like, okay, like, we'll date each other. So like, we made things official. I think he asked me to go steady.
Oh.
And then we did long distance. We saw each other for, we didn't see each other for like 5 months.
Shit.
And then he came and visited me for his birthday. And I think we made, were we official by then? If we weren't official by then, we made it official then. And then like, we hung out for his birthday. Then it came back, and then we got an apartment together and moved in.
Damn.
And then, yeah. So we were there for 2 years, and then we bought a house. And then that's when we're like, okay, like,
wait, how long were you together before you moved in?
A year.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Then that was long distance. Okay. We did long distance for a year. And I came back at the end of that year when I was doing my internship, and then we moved in with each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all actually just like grew with each other.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Like, because even that first year that y'all was together, y'all really didn't have that much closeness with each other because it was long distance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we were on the phone all the time.
I mean, that's true. But like, right.
All the time.
But you know, being on the phone is different than, you know, being in person and, you know, seeing their mannerisms or like things that may rub you the wrong way.
Yeah. The longest stretch that we didn't see each other was for 5 months. But like, after his birthday, I think I was home consistently, like maybe like every month, because it came down October, then I went down for Thanksgiving, then I went down for Christmas, and then I had to do stuff for dissertation. So I was home every now and then, the sprinkles a lot often. So like, we made it work. Yeah.
Nice.
No wonder you have that phone connection.
Uh-huh.
It's cute.
Like, an earbud was always in my ear.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So then, wait. So then how did we start talking about, okay, we're actually going to have a ceremony and...
Yeah, so at that time, we were like, we got the house, and then like, we kind of had extra money because of like, things, the savings. We were like, oh no, we should just like, get married and like, make it official. So that's when we decided to do it. And we were going to get married. Well, we did keep the date. We're going to have like, a big wedding on the same date when we had our first date. So like, we got married on, we still got married, but we got married during the pandemic. So like, we didn't have like the big wedding that we wanted.
Which pandemic?
Which COVID.
Oh.
Yeah.
2020.
We got married in 2020.
Oh, so okay. Y'all just been together for
since
over 10.
Yeah. Over 10. Yeah.
You started planning in,
I think, 2019 we were planning.
Okay.
Then because we were about to send out invitations, I think. Were we? No, we already sent out invitations.
Okay, so then, yeah, so you sent out invitations.
Yeah.
The wedding was planned.
Yeah, because we had deposits on things. I had deposits on the cake. I had deposit on a taco truck, on the ice cream place, which I think we still have money there, credit.
So then when the pandemic hit, then it was like, fuck, or like, what happened? Like, you're like...
Yeah, so the pandemic hit. So our original plan was... We wanted to get married at the Lighthouse in Long Beach because that okay. was where we ended our first date.
Oh.
And we were getting married on the same day as that
date.
As that date.
Okay.
So we wanted to have it at the Lighthouse to kind of like be full circle. But that location was booked already. So we had to book another venue. But since the pandemic hit, everything was canceled. So we were able to go out to the Lighthouse. And so we were like, well, let's do it. Now we can have the wedding we wanted. And yeah, it's not going to be a big party. We're not going to have everyone here. But
the motherfuckers that's here don't matter.
Exactly. And the date is what was really important for us. Nice. So we go out there and one of our good friends gets officiated and marries us right there out in by the Lighthouse.
Nice.
And the other interesting part is because it was a pandemic, all the city clerk things were shut down. So no one was issuing like licenses. So that was another reason why we're like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. And just like a few weeks before we were planning getting married, Santa Ana opened up their clerk to hand out wedding licenses. So we had to go down and like get the paperwork, fill it out, and then turn it in and kind of like this weird dystopian thing because it set up like a COVID testing center.
Oh my god.
Where it was like tents outside and you just turn in paperwork and then you just like hand things.
Oh my
god. It was so interesting. It was definitely very interesting.
Welcome to the least romantic way. Fuck.
So yeah, that's what we did.
I mean, that's very historical.
Yes. Yeah.
I was at this wedding, everybody. I was there. It was cute.
At the Lighthouse?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. We all had to wear masks and be away from each other.
Flower girl.
I was not the flower girl.
Oh.
But I was there.
You witnessed.
I witnessed.
Yeah. And then we had a friend who played the violin. He played two songs for us.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very cute.
It was cute for a pandemic wedding. And then we like gave out the...
Saved a lot of money.
The Zoom. We did a Zoom so people can see us get married.
Oh,
so
okay.
So we passed out a bunch of like Zoom links.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all, did you guys ever have y'all a honeymoon?
Yeah. We did one like a year after, I believe.
Okay.
But midway... We got sick.
Got COVID.
Yeah, so we got COVID.
Redo.
We got COVID on our planned honeymoon. So we need a redo of our redo. Mm. COVID just fucking us up all these years.
Still you got a chokehold.
She biting.
Yeah. So we still have one to do, in my opinion. But yeah.
Marriage is all about love. But I also know that marriage is very hard in a sense
because
mm-hmm. I know I hear a lot of people's like, you know, like you gotta always be working towards it, like it's always work.
Yeah,
you know,
so
how do you feel about that statement? Because it seemed like and that y'all love is pure, so I don't feel like you, I don't want to assume, but like it looked like y'all shit easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
But I know marriage is work, so yeah. It is important to remind our listeners that like if you are depending on making this happen,
mm-hmm.
that you have to be open-minded and ready to put in the work.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's just I think relationships are just work.
I mean, that's like, also true. Shit.
I don't think it's just marriage. Like, I think that like whatever effort you want to put towards a marriage is the same energy you need to put towards a relationship, you know, because like you need to nurture it from then because like you're not going to get married and things are magically going to be different or feel different or there's going to be the different level of intensity. You're going to have the same shit. It's going to feel the same way. So you still have to put in the same work and effort whether you are married or not.
That's true. Just like how you had to put in the work when you're in a relationship when you first start dating.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
She's going to be like, hey, let's just go get some McDonald's in.
Mm-hmm.
Chill at the park. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Take me to Carl's Jr. Mm-hmm. No, sir.
So you'd get married again?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll do it again.
Nice, nice, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Get married?
Get married first.
Off. I think so. I think I'm down for the idea of getting married. I'm not against it. I used to be into the idea of getting married in like a more like intense way. Like I had like the idea that I wanted to get married.
Just because of society.
Yeah. Because it's just kind of like, I don't know. I was just like obsessed with like finding a husband and like getting, I don't know, like doing everything as fast as I could, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Just like get it out of the way and like have like kids and get married. Yeah. Like do all that shit. But then like as time has like rolled on, it's funny because like the partner that I'm with now is I feel like I am the most secure with him mentally than any of my other partners. But I'm like the least pressed to get married at this point. And like back then, like I felt way more pressed to get married with these fools that were like not like marriage material.
Right.
So I don't know.
I mean, that kind of resonates with me. Like, well, personally, I never felt the urge or need to get married. Like that wasn't pushed on me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I never saw myself getting married until I met my partner. But like, yeah, I resonate with you. It was kind of like, I don't feel this urge because I think there's just like, there's no need to, like, I don't need the extra level of security. Like, I know you're here to stick.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel like he's going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I need to tie you down with this.
Uh-huh. Like, my last boyfriend, he, for some reason, kept, like, pushing the idea. Not pushing, but, like, talking out loud about the idea that his friend, who had gotten with his boyfriend at the same time that we had gotten together, that they were together for like a month and they immediately got married in a month. And then he was like, would that be weird if we got married like that quickly? And I'm like, yeah, it would be. Like, I don't want to get married that quickly. Like,
yeah.
In my mind, like, I have to know the person at least 3 years before I'm gonna marry them.
And damn. Live with them.
And yeah,
at you this point, have to know also. How someone lives. Like, that's
true.
That's a whole different ball game.
Because people change, like, not only do people change, like, people immediately change within, like, 1 year of knowing them. Like, the whole first year you know somebody, I feel like, is obviously the puppy love stage, and you make a million excuses for any little red flag that'll come up. So you're immediately, like, blind to this person. And then it's kind of like, after the first year, like, the real them kind of starts showing up. Not, like, in a bad way, but, like, you're probably less, I feel like,
yeah,
blind.
So you'll never do Love is Blind and all that?
Fuck no.
Whatever the fuck.
Hell no.
Like, married from overseas.
Because I feel like you gotta know a person for a while to actually really know them.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I remember, like, I was going to say, like, oh, hell yeah, I want to marry my, especially if you're younger. Like, you make a lot of dumbass.
I mean, because a lot of people grew up with our grandparents and our parents marrying at a very fucking young age, like at 17 and 18 and being together forever. Uh-huh. So we just assumed like, oh my God, it's doable.
That's what was also,
it's possible.
It was always confusing to me because I feel like straight people, like they meet one person who I guess they kind of like, and then they just end up marrying them. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, do not like vet anybody? And they have like these horrible, shitty marriages and they're like married to these like bastard people that they all hate each other, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
But I feel like straight marriage gets painted as like you hate your partner. Like, look at like married, like their media representation, like married with children. Uh-huh. You know, like, oh, okay. It's all like Roseanne. Like, I feel there's like this like weird tension in like straight relationships. I don't know, maybe it's because of that, like they settle.
I feel like at my
and right. their partners,
the straight people at my job, I feel like they the whole shtick is that they hate their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's one guy in my work and he like answers the phone and he's like, tells his wife, like, what the fuck, bitch? Like, why are you fucking calling me at work? And I'm like, damn, like, that's how you fucking talk to her? That's right? Your wife?
That's ridiculous.
I'm like, I could never imagine talking to my boyfriend like that.
Mm-mm.
Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, but y'all are the ones who, this is the sanctity of marriage or straight marriage. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like straight marriage is like, they have that push, like how I had, to feel like I needed to be married. Mm. So they feed into it and they get married and they just marry whoever the fuck. because the idea of getting married is more important than the person who you're marrying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't,
I'm just stereotyping straight.
Rami, that's also true.
I'm sure there's, like,
but what I'm quite sure is mostly factual. Shit. But I don't think marriage don't really appeal to me. But also, like, I'm single, so
what can you tell the advice can you give gays about getting married, doctor, or making your marriage last or some shit like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're gonna get what you put into your marriage is what you're gonna get out of it. You know, like, y'all need to invest in each other, like, invest in each other. You need to invest in yourself, and your partner needs to invest in themselves, but y'all also need to invest into each other as a whole, you know, mm-hmm. because, like, you're two different people, and I think it's important to be mindful that you can, you know, do your own thing and then be together, but, like, it also requires communication and work, like Christoph was saying, to make it work. And I don't know, like I said, for me, like, marriage is... it's just like a commitment that you're going to be with this person, and you can't take that lightly. So know who the person you want to be with is, and find a way to work each other and find compromise in things.
Come on, work each other.
Work each other. Work each other. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Fuck, you just lost me. I was going to say
But I definitely do want to renew my vows and, like,
have a fun wedding. Because you said it's going to be 3 years this year? It's
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years this year.
Okay.
Does it feel like 4 years?
No. No. Well, because collectively now, 10 years.
Oh, we've been together. Right?
Yeah, they're right.
So, like, that's where my mind is.
Mm.
You know, it's like we've been together for 10 years.
Yeah. Does it feel like 10 years?
No, not really. Lots has happened in 10 years, but yeah. it feels accurate.
Feels like it is the proper amount of time.
Yeah.
What happened?
Did she tip my... Oh, she put it over there.
I'm trying to think of anything else.
What else about marriage?
Love and marriage. Has anybody ever told you that your marriage is ruining their straight marriage?
No, but I had my aunt tell me she wasn't going to come to my gay wedding because it was against her religion.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to her?
No. Perfect. I stopped talking to her. Yeah.
Was that the last time you spoke to her?
No, because I see her at family events. I say hi to be civil.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how that cold shoulder doing?
Right.
Was anyone on your side about that?
No.
Damn.
They were
one person?
No. Well, maybe my gay uncle, but his perspective was like, you're not going to change him, so why put up a fight? Mm. And so I was like,
it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. Exactly. They're making me uncomfortable, so they get to feel uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They go tit for tat.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, I'm a petty bitch. I'm
so petty. Yeah. So actually, when she told me that, like, we stopped talking for a few months, and then I called her one day because we were going to see each other for the first time in, like, since I stopped talking to her, and I was getting really anxious about it. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I was so anxious. Like, I felt like I had, like,
not the flu. Not seeing a stomach incident.
No, like, I felt like I was legit, like, coming down with something.
Oh my God.
And I acknowledged it. And then I was like, fuck. And so I, like, was figuring out what I was going to tell her. And, like, I called my mom and was like, I feel like anxious about seeing her because of what she said. And they're like, well, you know, there's just some things we just got to respect people's opinions. And I'm like, you like, yes, but like, this is not one that you respect. So there's that whole thing. And then I called her. I'm like, I called my aunt and I called her. I was like, I know we're going to see each other in a few hours, but like, I'm hurt by what you said. And I'm not ready to talk to you. Like, I'll share space with you, but like, I don't want to sit down and have a conversation. And I'll say hi to you, but that's the only interaction I want. And until you, like, go and, like, educate yourself on, like, what you think, like, go talk to gay Christians, go talk to your church, like, go talk to gay people, like, go educate yourself because, like, you're wrong. And when you do that, then we can have a conversation, have a relationship. But till then, no.
And I see she has not done this.
And she has not done it. Yeah.
balls in your court, bitch.
Exactly. And I was like, that's exactly, that's you. I told you what you need to do.
Right.
And it's not unreasonable to not want to talk to someone who doesn't like believe my marriage is valid.
Have you moved away from saying hello and just doing a head nod?
This time like, a little bit, yeah.
Like, I'm not even wasting my breath on you, auntie.
I make them initiate it. Like, I don't initiate. I walked in, I saw them, they saw me, and then, like, they're the ones that said hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a bullshit. It's like bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just cop out and be like, but my religion.
Exactly.
What about it?
Yeah. And what? Yeah, and I said that, and she was like, and what, you just wanted me to be there and, like, knowing what you believe? I'm like, yes, because that's at least you're showing me that you're trying to, like, change, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to challenge what you believe, but, like, you're not even trying, and that's the most shitty part.
Because it's like, we could just throw the fact in your face that there's, like, gay churches.
Exactly.
And it's like, what are you going to say? Oh, well, they're wrong, and I'm right about not liking you.
Yeah.
Like, You went to the wedding of the bitch who got pregnant before she was married. Isn't that a sin?
She was pregnant at her wedding.
What? Okay. Now, not the kettle.
Okay. So you know, that's how it works.
That is how it works. So, here in America.
So, yeah. That's and that's the thing. That's and, wild. Like, my family struggled with it, and I think they still do, but I just think that they don't want to fight and argue, so like they just let it be.
I mean, I hate the argument where it's like you have to let them have their opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, opinion? It's their opinion that they think I'm a lesser human being that doesn't deserve respect.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, when you're in a family, you have to go to everybody's wedding, even if you don't even like them, because it's just mandatory family goes to the wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like for you to all of a sudden say, oh, well, my religion says that your wedding is like not valid or disgusting or XYZ. Like, you can't get around the fact that you're stating that I'm negative or lesser or disgusting.
Yeah.
So how do I have to respect that? I don't get that. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
You have to respect the fact that they are an asshole. And you have to be the good one.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be the
good person.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't understand.
We over that.
Yeah.
We beyond that. We ain't being nice no more. Gotta make motherfuckers. We got to make all the motherfuckers uncomfortable.
It's like, true. You get to spit in my face and I have to grit and bear it and then smile at you and still pretend like I give a fuck
like
about you?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't make me feel shitty?
Yeah. Right? Sorry, I'm about honesty.
Okay. I'm an honest person.
I can't.
But yeah, I think in terms of like this accusation that we're like defiling like the sanctity of marriage, I'm like, bitch, go on Netflix. Tell me about Love is Blind. Tell me about Joe Millionaire. Tell me about all your like shitty dating sites that you've had for years. Like, and you're telling me that we're desecrating marriage? Like, you're having people marrying each other sight unseen.
Right.
Get out of here.
Don't marry children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's people that I've seen that have been like married the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking. But it's like, y'all desecrate your own marriages. You guys have made divorce legal.
Yeah. And what? Half of y'all are getting divorced.
Right? So what the fuck? Let me marry a dog too. That's what you think's gonna fucking happen.
Yeah.
I mean, man, there's a dog best friend.
But I have had like a lot of straight people try to play devil's advocate and like argue with me why I should be happy to not get married and that it's better for me not to get married because it's just a life of unhappiness marriage. And that like, this is their argument to me for why gay marriage should be not legal. Because
I was like, what?
Because marriage is unhappy.
Because their marriage because
you chose the wrong motherfucker. Uh-huh. Yeah. Motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
I've had multiple straight people had this quote unquote argument with
me. That's so interesting.
That's alarming.
My cousin told me this, and I was like, do you think that your wife would be happy to hear you say that?
Is that what the fuck you think?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, wow.
The straights aren't okay.
But that's what it is. It's like, these guys, they get married, and
They're unhappy.
Yeah. They just think that's what it is. It's like clockwork. Like in my family, it's like, that's what you do. You just find somebody, you get married to them. And it's, yeah, you hate the bitch, but that's it. Cause you're supposed to get married to that person.
Yeah.
Like, dang. The fuck?
Yeah, no.
Cause when I told my one coworker who talks to his wife like shit, I said, why don't you just get a divorce? You hate this bitch so much. And he laughed at the idea. And I'm like, what? Like, you hate the person. I'm confused. Anyways.
They can't destroy the sanctity of marriage.
I guess not. They're working through it by not doing anything about themselves.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And that's how we have so many fucking families killing each other and shit.
Right?
That's fucking stupid.
Or kids with trauma and like inability to have romantic relationships or relationships in general in the future. Like, come on. Like, that's the thing is like we learn how to be in relationships with people by observing our parents' relationships or grandparents' relationships or like all these relationship dynamics. And if you're shitting in them, like we're mm-hmm. only going to learn shitty things.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a son of a gun, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with the world today?
Wah, wah, wah.
So any other thoughts on marriage?
Oh, I have one little cute story. So our neighbors, they just got engaged, and the story goes like this. The guy, he told us, I'm going to propose to her, and we're going to go to Ireland on our trip to Ireland, and I'm going to propose. And then we said, oh, how cute. Well, let us know how it goes. They go to Ireland. They come back. They are engaged. La, la, la. So then they tell us the story, but the story is that the girl, she had the original intent to propose to him. Because something about a leap year, and on a leap year, the girl can propose to the guy. And so I guess she's figured, well, we're going to go to Ireland, and might as well, the one time I can break gender norms, I suppose.
Oh my God.
I never heard that before.
I've never heard that either. So I guess, yeah, the girl can propose to the guy on a leap year.
It doesn't count.
And it doesn't count as awkward. It's not weird, I guess.
The date doesn't exist.
So they were going, right? And so that was her plan. She was going to propose to him. And so I guess they really want to love each other because they're both deciding to propose at the same fucking time.
That is cute, though.
That is cute, right? But so he ended up proposing first because he proposed in the morning. So she never even had to be awkward or, you know, do anything weird. Or have the slight awkwardness of maybe he won't say yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like that's like a big thing where guys also are very into the idea of like, don't let a girl propose because that's desperate.
So I was going to say, like, did she propose at the end?
Yeah.
Like in the evening?
My thing, what happened was that she did her own version in the end.
Oh, okay, good.
And I thought that was cute.
That's
so cute. You both actually liked each other that much that you proposed at the same fucking time. Good job.
Can you imagine getting said no to?
Right. Dang.
Oh.
I've been watching Marriage Proposal Fails where it's like the guy fucking proposed like, you know, they do it at like a baseball game.
Oh yeah, like I think that's set up. Like I don't think none of those is real. I think that's just for a show and tell. But like, don't you think that that would be a conversation that you would have before like
we're ready for marriage?
Right.
Yeah.
Before you'd be like, oh, okay, you want to marry me?
Yeah. Right? It shouldn't be a surprise.
No, because straight people, they just think that's the next step.
Straights aren't okay. They're not okay.
They're just like, yeah, we'll get married. And she'll say yes because I'm awesome.
They're really so pressed on these gender norms, aren't they? Right? Like, she legit couldn't propose unless it was an imaginary day that came every 4 years. The fuck?
I mean, those straight men.
I think that's why they struggle with the idea of like us desecrating it because it's like we're crashing those gender norms, those gender roles, right? Because we are changing what marriage is.
Fucks with their mind.
I mean, it's not the harshest, but...
Because I mean, I feel like I know even in dating, a lot of girls won't cross that line of like being the first one to message because like the guy is set on like if a girl messages you first, then she is like a thirsty hoe. And it's like, they're desperate. Like, they won't let that girl cross the line.
Yeah. But then that's hard, right? Because, like, the guy wants the hoe when he wants it, but...
But when she's the hoe, she's nasty. It's so stupid, yeah. Because, like, I hear straight guys talk all the time about, like, this, like, hoe mentality of, like, she's a hoe because she fucks more than one dude. And it's like, they can't have their own autonomy. Or else it's like they are now not a potential love match.
That's true.
Dang, that's patriarchy. That's religion. It's all the things.
By it.
So you gotta wait for a leap year.
4 more years.
Thank God for the patriarchy that he proposed first.
Congratulations to them.
Yes.
Congrats. They're very cute. I feel like they will be very happy together for the rest of their lives.
Amen to that. Or should I say, luck to the Irish.
You're very good at these accents. I love it.
Thank you. I just thought about that married couple that was on, that gay married couple that was at the airport. And he was like, think of the girls. Think of the girls. Shelby. Shelby.
Wait, what was that?
Although I don't think it was like on American flight. It was this gay couple and they had like, I don't know. I think he must have been drunk or something, but he was like, think of the girls. We got to go home to the girls. He was like, think of Shelby. And I think it was like their dogs. Like, I don't even think. Well, then again, I don't know if they had real daughters.
That sounds
like,
real, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't never seen that?
No.
I think I remember that gay couple in an airport, but I don't remember.
And it was just in front of everybody.
Why were they yelling?
Oh, and then, so it was the lady in the wheelchair. And she had a service dog. And he was like, oh, like, that dog is so cute. And she's like, fuck you, bitch. I was like, oh, my God, yeah, he's wasted. He's done.
Did you see some gay city council member peed on precinct, on the door of a precinct?
Precinct in downtown LA?
Uh-huh.
No.
Him and his boyfriend, I guess.
So like that was drunk?
Oh, yes, yes. I did see the video. Wait, yes, 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 yes.
I'm like, why? Because they're just drunk?
Why he doesn't go to the bathroom?
Because that's what gay people do.
Well, they were being... yeah, legit, though.
That's, I feel like I peed on like...
Well, because I think I saw this story, so I think they were obviously drinking at precinct, right?
Okay.
And they were really drunk, and I think the security started to follow them around, so I think they left because they were that intoxicated.
Oh.
And then, but they went somewhere where it was still precinct property, and it was like this little thing and like a glass door, and like, there was a camera and they didn't see it because they were fucked up and they just started peeing right there.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
I didn't know it was a council person though.
Yeah, that's funny. Is it a council person or is it like a city council member? I don't know.
Someone important though. But I saw that. But I saw in precinct like they put them on blast.
That's fucking precinct funny. Is good for that. Look, they get you on camera.
I was like,
this going viral, bro.
I'm like, fuck. I need to behave at precinct.
Anyway, fucking right. Funny.
But yeah, but if gays want to get married, get married. And also, like, one thing that's interesting is, like, the gays really latch on to, like, gay marriage as a activist way to fight for our rights, right? And there's so many other things, like housing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, employment guarantee, discrimination free, you know, but it's like, nah, we're going for gay marriage.
That is true, huh? It does seem like it's like the golden law.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it kind of sort of is, because it's like about our love, and we're proving that gayness is about love and marriage.
Oh yeah, because we gotta fight that we're perverts.
Yeah, as opposed to like homosexuals,
deviants,
who are only sexual beings. But that's saying it, but that's funny, right? Because it's like, we're only sexual beings. Then it's like, why are you discriminating against homosexuals? Like, why won't you discriminate against like BDSM players who are straight? Or like, also like furries. They like make a law against furries only if that's a sexual, right? Like, doesn't really make sense to discriminate against one specific sexual identity.
Right.
Well, it's because straights can be into BDSM and furries.
That'd be taking away their rights.
Yeah.
Fuck straight people. Anyways.
Anything else on marriage, y'all?
Put a ring on it.
If you like it.
Then you should put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it.
All right, that's the cue.
Yeah.
Any other gay thoughts? No?
Nah, not that I can think of. Go get married if you want. But know the person. Make good choices.
Know them. Mm-hmm. Only get married after 3 years of knowledge of this person. Don't get married.
What if it's 3 years from a distance?
how distant?
I would at least live with them for a good bit.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm truly that motherfucker.
Yeah. Don't just get carried away with like a whirlwind love and like get married in a weekend of knowing them. Please don't ever do that.
Yeah, it's not Pretty Women, y'all.
You have time.
That's true. Unless you don't.
Unless you don't. Unless you need to get that bag.
I mean,
marry that old man. Time's running out for him. All right. From all of us here at the Queer LBC, I'd like to thank myself, Nino, Dr. Mikey, and Christoph. All of us here at the Queer LBC, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. Good night.
Night, night.
Sleep tight.
Night, night, bye.